It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Tanner Beamer with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. First off, it's Sam Bankman-Fried, who's founder and CEO of FTX US. And that's a business allowing customers to trade cryptocurrencies or digital currencies for other assets, testifying recently before the House Ag Committee.
A bit about myself, I went to MIT, majored in physics. I worked on Wall Street at Jane Street Capital with the goal of donating what I made. And I got involved in the digital asset ecosystem in 2017. In 2019, I founded FTX, a global cryptocurrency derivatives exchange. In 2020, we launched our U.S. arm, FTX U.S. And in 2021, we acquired LedgerX, now FTX U.S. Derivatives, a CFTC-licensed clearinghouse and marketplace.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Tanner Beamer. Tanner is Senior Director, Government Affairs, National Cattlemen's Beef Association in Washington, D.C. And Tanner, we get the opportunity to talk from time to time, but there might be some who don't know your background, and your background actually is ag-related and livestock, right?
That's right. I grew up on a ranch in southern Idaho, went to study agricultural economics at college, and had my own auctioneering company that I ran through. It actually started as an FFA project back in high school, but I carried it with me all through college and did a lot of livestock sales, a horse sale here and there. And so I've been around the industry for about as long as I've been walking.
And the fact is you've had the opportunity to have one-on-one conversations with producers, whether we're talking about in the north or now through NCBA nationwide. Is that valuable to bring to this job of government affairs for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, everybody does things just a little bit differently, and that's the case whether you're looking at one small specific region of the country or you expand that scope out to encompass the entire nation. Everybody does things a little bit differently, and it has been a very eye-opening experience. You know, next month I'm coming up on 5 years at the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and during that time I think I've traveled to about, oh, probably 30-ish states to meet with cattle producers and talk about their issues. And you know, I always tell folks up on Capitol Hill when I'm meeting with them about these issues, you know, I grew up in this industry, and there's not a day goes by that something new doesn't come along that I'm learning for the first time. It's really kind of a cool opportunity, and it's really important in helping me keep a good perspective as we're lobbying for some of these priorities.
Does that really set the stage, if you will, this conversation up to this point, for some of the challenges that the industry has, and I guess more than that, the challenges that legislators could have in trying to come up with solutions for problems?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, over the course of the last couple of years, you know, cattle markets have been first and foremost on the minds of those of us in Washington, D.C., both on Capitol Hill and downtown. And our ability to bounce ideas off of our affiliates and get the unique perspectives of the different parts of the country has been instrumental in our ability to navigate a pretty tricky issue in a way that is inclusive of everybody's different viewpoints and perspectives, and of course adheres to our policy that was adopted by our members through our policymaking process.
So it's been an interesting week on Capitol Hill. A couple of different, actually it's been an interesting month, or I guess you could say year, on Capitol Hill with some of these hearings, but especially one on the House side. How do you really frame that up for us?
Well, so the House Agriculture Committee several weeks ago did a hearing where they examined concentration in the packing sector. And that was a very long and drawn out conversation. And I think if my math is correct, that would actually be the seventh hearing that we've had in all of Congress during the 117th Congress on this issue. So it has been paid very close attention to over the past couple of years. And earlier this week, the House Ag Committee voted to advance a piece of legislation called the Meat and Poultry Special Investigator Act, which NCBA is opposed to. What the bill would do is it would create an Office of the Special Investigator at USDA to examine competition matters amongst the major meat packers. And that is good. You know, NCBA supports robust enforcement of the Packers and Stockyards Act. want to make sure everybody's playing above board. But we are opposed to this legislation because there already is an agency at USDA that is charged with enforcing the Packers and Stockyards Act and looking at competition manners. It's called the Packers and Stockyards Division, and it's been around in some form or fashion for over 100 years. And so this piece of legislation really doesn't create anything new at USDA. The only thing it would do is it would give a government official very broad unilateral authority to bring civil lawsuits. That's really the only new power that this legislation grants to USDA. In the meantime, the Packers and Stockyards Division is charged with enforcing the act in its entirety. They have a dedicated competition branch to look at these issues. However, in 2021, of all of their workload that they engaged in, only about 1% of those were classified as competition matters. So why we need to have a special investigator for that really defies logic. And then just to put an icing on that cake, the bill is unfunded, which means there's no dedicated pot of money for that special investigator's office. And if it were to pass on the Senate side or the full House of Representatives and be signed into law, that new office would have to compete for already scarce resources across other critical mission areas at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. So this is a solution in search of a problem. It's redundant, it's duplicative, and ultimately, our big concern, Tony, is that it's going to result in less effective enforcement of the Packers and Stockyards Act.
Now, there is a division, if you will, in the industry. There are those who really want a legislative fix to this issue that they have, and there are others who really want a fix, but maybe not a legislative fix. So, I guess what I'm trying to ask here is, for those who are wanting the legislative fix, is there a path forward if it's not through this special investigator?
Oh, absolutely. There is an appropriate role of the federal government in ensuring fairness and transparency within all livestock markets. And that goes back to the Packers and Stockyards Act, which, as I mentioned, was originally passed in 1921. What is not the proper role of government, though, is to create additional barriers and extra layers of bureaucracy that's going to slow down adequate enforcement of that. You know, we have been waiting on the results of a Justice Department investigation into the meat packers for about 2 years now. And, you know, while we are waiting with bated breath for the results of that investigation, we really don't know what they have found. And so we are crafting legislation aimed at addressing a problem that we aren't even exactly sure whether it exists, and if it does, to what extent it exists. So there is a proper role for the federal government in this conversation, but it is not creating duplicative barriers and repetitive, redundant new offices, and it's certainly not mandating specific levels of specific trading methods.
You mentioned packers and stockyards, and you mentioned a time frame. Was it the 1920s? Is that when we saw the packers and stockyards come out?
Yeah, so that law was originally passed in 1921. It has been amended over the years to reflect the needs of an ever-evolving industry, and NCBA believes that the law in its current form is sufficient to empower USDA to make sure that everybody is operating above board. Remember, the Packers and Stockyards Act doesn't just deal with antitrust type issues. It also regulates how we calibrate scales at auction markets and other places so that we know that the cattle that are being sold are being attributed the right weights. They also oversee trade practices, registration of livestock dealers and auction markets. There's a whole lot going on with that piece of legislation, or excuse me, that law. And there's it's been around for over a century.
Well, that was 1921, so let's back up 7 years before that, since we're keeping our dates here. 1914 was an act that is, well, it hasn't even been used since the 1920s, but in the past week in the Senate, we have a bipartisan group asking the Federal Trade Commission to now use this. What's happening?
Well, so there, you know, obviously during the early 20th century, there was a lot of consolidation, much like there is today. And so Congress passed a couple different pieces of legislation, the Sherman Act and the Clayton Act, designed to ensure that monopolistic practices weren't acting to the detriment of other players in the market and ultimately to the detriment of the consumer as well. And you're right, those pieces of legislation are not often used because it takes a lot to demonstrate that there is monopolistic influence in any given market, let alone one as complex as livestock. What I believe you're referring to is a joint resolution that was introduced by Senator Elizabeth Warren and Senator Mike Round, which would call for the Federal Trade Commission to investigate the meat packers for potential anti-competitive behavior. Now, again, NCBA is very supportive of oversight and effective management of the packing sector. But at this point in this conversation, we are, I think, using the packers as a scapegoat to try and avoid talking about the real issues that are causing heartache for cattle producers and impacting their bottom line. It is much easier for Congress to blame the meat packers for food price inflation than it is to address the conditions which are leading to skyrocketing costs for fuel, fertilizer, and feed. Those skyrocketing input costs are really what are affecting producers' bottom line, and they're driving prices up at the grocery store. But it's much easier to say that we're going to investigate the packers as a response to that right before they go home to campaign for the midterm elections. We would prefer that we, again, wait for the results of the Department of Justice investigation before we start passing acts like the Meat and Poultry Special Investigator Act, or we open any new investigations like what's being contemplated in this joint resolution from Senator Warren and Round.
Okay. Summer is almost officially here. It's meeting season. I say meeting season because the summer meeting for NCBA is coming up. This is probably going to be a hot topic at that meeting. What can you tell us about that?
Sure. So our summer business meeting is going to be July 25th through 27th at the Nugget Resort Casino in Reno, Nevada. And that is where all of our policy committee meetings will take place. A lot of the checkoff business will be done at that time, and then the NCBA Executive Committee, Board of Directors, and Officers will have their main meeting that will decide a lot of the business of this association. And if you have an interest in cattle markets issues or other policy issues, whether it be in natural resources and environment, cattle health and well-being, international trade, taxes, I would encourage anyone to come to that summer business meeting and participate in our policymaking process through some of those committees.
And again, if we want to keep up with this, find out more about this, or keep up with NCBA, can we do that online?
You absolutely can. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, or you can go online to ncba.org.
Tanner Beamer is Senior Director, Government Affairs, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, on today's Agribusiness Report.
Looking to get more out of your hay harvest? At Livingston Machinery, we're proud to offer Heston by Massey Ferguson wind rowers, disc mower conditioners, round balers, large and small square balers. These rugged machines are built for high performance and high capacity. They're simple to maintain and consistently deliver the best results. Don't settle for less. Demand Heston hay. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
At Golden Harvest, our best skill is knowing how to listen. From our Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to our expert insights housed in the Illuminate digital agronomy platform, everything we offer is an answer to what we've heard from you. This is how we listen.
Copyright 2021 Syngenta. The trademarks or service marks used herein are the property of a Syngenta Group company. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Tanner Beamer with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Keep up with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association online at ncba.org.
Why sorghum?
I think sorghum is a smart choice for growers because it just fits well with our limited moisture. There's a lot of improvement the last few years. It's just been a really good crop for us. It just works.
Sorghum has the ability over many crops to sit and wait on moisture, so it's a smart choice there.
Sorghum is a smart choice because it is flexible and tough. It's a good crop.
Rain or shine, sorghum is the smart choice.
You don't just farm for you. There's generations before you and generations that will come after. You live up to legacy as much as you build one for the future to come. It's why our all-new Gleaner S9 Series Combine blends technology and know-how to give you the very best in control, comfort, and combine performance. It's the next generation Gleaner for the next generation of farming. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Richard Flournoy is Deputy Administrator, Risk Management Agency.
Our livestock gross margin products, those cover dairy, swine, and cattle. The key change with those products is they're going to be offered throughout the entire United States. Dairy, that was offered in the lower 48, now it'll be offered in Alaska and Hawaii. The same thing with swine. Cattle, it'll be an additional 29 states. Before that, it was mostly the top cattle producing states. Dairy revenue, that covers your revenue of your dairy operation on a quarterly basis. One particular change is if your operation was destroyed due to a tornado or a fire, any disaster previously, you may not be able to get coverage during that time period, but we've made some changes that will allow you to use production from a previous quarter to potentially be able to get a payment in the next quarter. So it's really just a flexibility. And then we have the livestock risk protection program, which really covers fed cattle, feeder cattle, and swine. We're making changes to allow producers to get paid within 30 days of a claim rather than 60. It helps producers get their indemnity a lot quicker.